Ahead, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Look at verses 1 through 6 in just a moment. We're blessed as a church to have several folks, particularly several ladies, who are always thinking of others, whether it's contacting them on the phone or sending a note when it's a birthday or an anniversary or just a special event in life, or just a reminder that we're thinking of you. So grateful for that. I've been the recipient of those myself, and it's just a blessing to have folks in the church who think of others like that. We, of course, have our Sewing Sisters ministry that do all the beautiful quilts and take the time and the care and the detail to do that, and to see how people are blessed by those. I know my mom's been the recipient of that, and how appreciative she was and is of that. It's been a real encouragement to her. It's great to see people that truly think of others. In my previous church in Lincolnton, Georgia, we had a lady in our church by the name of Alma. And Alma was, she was in her 70s during the time that I was there. She was very active with our seniors in our church and very active in the community. She was a part of helping plan trips, schedule times for senior events that we did. Alma was active in the local food pantry, serving there on a regular basis. And I enjoyed going on visits with her because Alma would make what she called pop visits. We'd pop into somebody's house, and 10 or 15 minutes later, we'd pop out and go on to the next one. And she was great at doing that. Alma was a great supporter of the church. She was a great supporter of me as her pastor. If Alma called me on the phone and said, "You need to go visit so-and-so," I didn't ask any questions. I knew that she knew that I needed to go see them. I trusted her enough to know that there was a good reason for me to go see them. So I'd do everything I could to get there to see them. Alma didn't just make visits, though. She took people to the grocery store, to their doctor's appointments. She was a regular at Hardee's in the morning, checking in on the morning crowd and getting updates on people in the community. She did our prayer list on Sunday morning for the adult Sunday school assembly because she knew more than anyone about what was going on in the community and about who needed prayer. She was a blessing to our church, a blessing to the kingdom of God, because she was always thinking of others. Fortunately, Alma's health has gotten to a point now where she needs people checking on her. I got to see her this past Wednesday when I went back to Lincolnton to do a funeral, and she's having issues, in particular right now with a hip, but she still has that heart, that love, and that care and concern for others. I want to look at a text this morning where Paul makes it clear that we're to be thinking of others. That's what we're to be about as believers. God hasn't called us to live on an island in our faith away from everyone else. Our faith is personal, but our faith is not private. And we must consider how we're to help others. After all, when asked, Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say about this matter of thinking of others in Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "Now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. On the contrary, as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the Scriptures. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and in one voice. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you that your word is absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds today that we might indeed hear from you. Lord, help us to have a sensitivity to you and to those you place in our path, God, that we would indeed think of others more than we do ourselves. Now, God, you guide and direct this time, and I pray that I might decrease, Lord, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, first of all, in this text, we find our encouragement. Our encouragement. Now, Paul always had a concern for others and how his life affected others. he felt a tremendous responsibility to live in such a way that he wouldn't be a stumbling block to others, to those who were not as far along in the faith. And I've seen far too many Christians who want to live on their own, follow their own ways, rather than having a concern for their brothers and sisters in the faith. The old adage of don't do what I do, but do what I tell you to do is absolutely unbiblical. And Paul blows it out of the water in this text as he reminds us to be concerned about those who are weaker in the faith. Paul wasn't being judgmental of their walk, but he was understanding where they were in their walk. He was understanding where they were in their journey in Christ, and he was saying, don't do anything to be a stumbling block to them. Don't do anything to harm them. Paul tells us that we have a strong obligation or debt to carry or to bear the weakness of those around us. Jesus really said the same thing in a somewhat different way when he said, don't be a hindrance to the little children. Don't cause them to stumble. Jesus wasn't necessarily talking about their age chronologically as much as he was spiritually. And he even told us, unless you come to me as a child. He wasn't saying that you had to be a child when you came to him, but he was talking about your faith in him. You can have a lot of years behind you on the calendar, but very little maturity in the faith. We have far less excuses than first century Christians not to be mature in the faith. We have the written word of God, multiple copies of it. I don't know about you, but I have the word of God on my phone. I mean, literally every day I can access the word of God in my hand with the thing that I carry around with me all the time. And I have multiple translations on my phone. We don't have any excuses about not being in God's word. But still, we tend to make excuses about why we don't study, why we don't grow. If we're not maturing in the faith, it's because we've chosen not to mature in the faith. Paul is encouraging us in this text to love our brothers and sisters enough to put their needs ahead of our own. I may have the freedom in the faith to do something, but that doesn't mean that it won't be a stumbling block to someone else. I shared with you several weeks ago now about the reality that Scripture doesn't condemn the consumption of alcohol in moderation. However, that doesn't mean it's a wise decision, because it can definitely be a stumbling block to others, even if it's not a problem for us. I don't play the lottery because I know many people view it as gambling, so I don't do it because I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone else. Now, if it gets over, you know, 500 million, I may get one of the deacons to play it for me, but I'm kidding. That's a joke. I'm kidding. The question really is, do you care about others enough to be aware of what you're doing so that you're not causing them to stumble? You see, our love for God should motivate us to be concerned about others. One of the things that I like about team sports is the lesson that can be learned about putting team ahead of the individual. Now, I realize in sports nowadays there is an awful lot of individualism. There are an awful lot of people who care more about stats than they do about the team. But good coaches and good teams focus on the team. Good coaches and good teams pay attention to doing things that put others ahead of themselves. Being a baseball guy and enjoying baseball, I like to see it when a baseball player cares about the teams and not his own stats. When a coach asks the player to bunt, when there's a runner on base and they want to advance the runner and move him over and put him into scoring position, I appreciate a player who's unselfish, who doesn't care that the coach has asked them to sacrifice himself in that case, to truly make an out to get the runner over, to get him closer to scoring position. Or when the batter intentionally tries to make sure, if you've got a runner on second base and no outs, and you want to advance him to third, tries to make sure that he hits the ball on the ground to the right side, even if it's not a hit, to try to get the runner farther along and closer to scoring. Those kind of things teach young people the reality of putting the needs of the team ahead of themselves. The player that's concerned about their stats is all about me, but the player that's concerned about the team has a concern and understanding for what it means to be a part of a team. Like it or not, as Christians, we're a part of a team. We're all on God's team, and sometimes God calls on us to bunt for the sake of the team. We might look at something and go, well, I could do that better than them. Well, you might be able to, but it's not what God's calling you to do. God's asked you to bunt So bunt for the sake of the team. Put others ahead of yourself. Ask God to help you be aware of those around you that are struggling in certain areas of the faith. Ask him to give you a compassion for them so that you will not be a stumbling block to them, but instead to be an encouragement to them. Our love for others should be great in light of the love that God has shown us. The least that we can do is work to build others up, not cause them to stumble. So we see, first of all, in this text, our encouragement. But secondly, in this text, I want you to see our example. Now, things really are less complicated in life if you have a good example to follow. I've seen people who have learned how to draw and do it really well give a simple way of helping someone else draw, literally doing it line by line so that you can sort of mimic what they do. Now, admittedly, when you get to the end, it doesn't look as good as theirs. But it's a whole lot better than it would have been if I had started from nothing. I mean, to see them give the example of doing, you know, each line, you know, maybe I can actually draw a face that looks like a face instead of, you know, something really strange or an animal. I mean, you know, I'm impressed when people have that ability to do things that look so real. But when somebody helps you understand how to do that, I've put together a lot of prefabricated furniture over the years. And I really appreciate instructions that actually have pictures and then even go so far as to have pictures of the screws so you can lay the screws on it and make sure you have the right one. I see some other folks giving witness. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Yes. It is very helpful because sometimes the words don't always translate the right way. But when you have the images, when you have the example, it helps. Paul makes it clear in this text that Jesus is our example. You want to know how to put others first? Look at Jesus. Whoever made a greater picture of putting others first than the Son of God leaving heaven and coming to earth to live with all, let's just be honest, to live with all of us in our muck and mire, but then to be willing to go to the cross, to die where I should have, to take my sin upon himself. He put others first, the ultimate example for us. So if we want to know how to put others first, look to him. If we want to know what it'll cost us, then look to him. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You know, when I was studying this sermon and thinking about that, it kind of dawned on me, I wonder even for the disciples at this point, because he's saying this before he's been crucified. I wonder if it even dawned on them what he really meant when he said, take up your cross. I have a feeling it didn't until after he was crucified. But for us living on this side of the crucifixion, we know what it means. Jesus showed us that a love for others is enough for the God of the universe to take on the sin of the world and to bear what each one of us should have had to bear on our own. I should have had to pay the penalty for my sin, but Jesus took my place. Paul said it this way in verse 3. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. He's talking about Christ. He's actually quoting something that David said in Psalm 69:9, but he's connecting the dots were the people of Rome and helping them realize that Jesus is the ultimate intermediary, the Lamb of God. He took upon himself what should have been ours to bear. Had Jesus considered himself more important than us, then we'd all be in real trouble right now. I'd be paying the price for my sin. You'd be paying the price for your sin. And we'd all be spending our eternity in a lake of fire. But because Christ showed us a love that's greater than any love we've ever seen anywhere else, because of him, we have forgiveness and eternal life. And because we have forgiveness and eternal life, we should be able to love others. We should be able to put others ahead of ourselves. If the one who created me could say to me, the creation, that he loved me enough to die in my place, then the least I can do is to live for him and to love others. We all need examples to follow. We all need examples in our life that will help lead us. As a boy, I looked up to my dad. My dad was a hard worker. He was the kind of person who didn't miss work. He went to work even when he wasn't feeling good. Now, my dad's favorite hobby was golf. So you know what I did growing up? I played golf with my dad. My mom was a golf widow on Saturdays. We were at the golf course Saturday mornings playing golf. And literally even through my high school years, playing golf with my dad. Now, when I reached a point to decide whether or not I wanted to keep playing, I enjoyed it, so I kept on playing. But my dad was one I looked up to. As a pastor through the years, I've had other pastors in my life who were older than me. That's getting harder and harder to find, but it used to be true. And along the way, having them pour into my life. And one that I'll never forget is an older pastor who told me, don't ever try to be anybody other than yourself as a pastor. You know, you look at all these people who can just are so eloquent. And, you know, I think about Adrian Rogers and the voice of God that God gave him. You know, when he spoke, it sounded like authority just from the voice that God had given him. And I realized, you know, God didn't call me to be Adrian Rogers. He called me to be Dan Rosser. God hasn't called you to be anybody other than you, and he wants to work in you and through you to accomplish his purposes. And I'm sure that if we were to take the time to go around the room today, there'd be people in your life who have been an influence for you, whether it's in your profession, whether it's in your faith, whether it's in life in general. There have been people who have set an example for you, who have modeled things for you. Perhaps you didn't have a great earthly example, but you relied on the Word of God. And you've looked to Scripture for God to encourage you to see the life of Christ, to see the life of the apostles, to learn from the Word of God. And obviously, that's a great place for us to go to find how to live. Ultimately, it's the only place for us to go to find how to live because it is absolute truth. We should be encouraged by the example of Christ. We should be putting the needs of others ahead of ourselves. It's so easy to mess that up. It's so easy to get selfish. However, Jesus showed us that he was willing to expend his life so that we could have what we needed, forgiveness and eternal life. Let's expend ourselves so that those around us will see more of Jesus in us and be drawn to him so that those around us can have the forgiveness and eternal life that they need as well. So in this text, we see our encouragement that we should encourage others, and we see our example, Jesus Christ. But finally, we need to see our end result. Paul tells us what happens if we follow the example of Christ and if we encourage one another in the faith. Paul tells us that God, who gives us endurance and encouragement, will cause us to live in harmony. Do you see a whole lot of harmony displayed around us these days? You turn on the news and you see everything but harmony. You see an awful lot of disharmony. You know, there was a time in even in my life when people could be civil when they had opposing views on things. But we've reached a day and age where you can't even be civil with people that you don't agree with. Where people will just become incredibly mean-spirited toward people that they disagree with. You know, the truth is, I may not disagree with you on something, but I can still respect your opinion and still respect you even if we disagree. The love of Christ compels us to do that. In light of the climate of the day, it would seem to me that a church truly living in harmony and lifting up Jesus would stand in stark contrast to the world. What an amazing witness it could be to the world to see a church that genuinely loves and cares for one another, and even cares for those that they disagree with. I pray that we'll grow to the place in our walk as believers and as a church that we would literally show the love of Christ even to those who are polar opposites from us in their belief. Because that's what we've been called to do. That's what maturity in the faith looks like. I do want to remind you, however, they won't see that love in us if we're only operating in that love within the walls of this church. We have a responsibility to get outside the walls. We have a responsibility to show love to the lost around us. We must be willing to get out into our community and love them where they are. We must accept them where they are by being a living reflection of Christ before them so that they can see him in us and be drawn to him. We must be intentional about doing things out in our community and showing the love of Christ to those around us. However, you and I shouldn't wait for planned events to do that. Well, preacher, as soon as you plan something for us to get out in the community, I'll go out there. I got bad news for you. That don't fly with God. God has put every one of us here, and he's placed us where we are on purpose, with his purposes, so that we might be a light where he's placed us. We need to each be looking for opportunities every day to be a light and a witness to those around us. But we do need to work together to show the love of God in harmony as we serve this community. I'm so grateful for those who were willing just a couple of weeks ago to be a part of the egg hunt when we had the Easter egg hunt on the last day of March, the day before Easter Sunday. We had over 112 children there, not counting the adults who were present. And we had two pray to receive Christ. The love of Christ being modeled because of your faithfulness to be willing just to simply love on people. This past Thursday, there were six of us that went over to Unicoi Gap and fed about 25 to 30 Appalachian Trail hikers as they came off the trail. That was a pretty neat experience to see them, and it was crazy how excited they were just for hamburgers and hot dogs. I mean, unreal, you know, because they've been eating all this packaged stuff. Smell those hamburgers cooking and those hot dogs cooking and get to eat that was a big deal. They call that whenever they come up on something like that, they call it trail magic. It's trail magic. Well, we wanted to tell them about the one who led us to be there. We had opportunity to share with them and meet them. Met a young man from Denmark who was on the Appalachian Trail. Met a young lady who's a MD doctor in France. Talked with a PhD professor from Tennessee. So it's amazing the kind of people who are part of the trail and just that one opportunity that God had given us to impact people in that way and seeing people pray with people and encouraging them. But there are all sorts of opportunities around us to share the love of Christ. Coming up May the 5th, we're going to have two opportunities in the same day. That morning, the Christian Learning Center is doing their 5K, and we're going to have the opportunity to be a part of that. And if you want to be a runner or a phantom runner, there's a table out front, and you can see Jan and Emily right out there after the service, and they will be glad to sign you up. Let me tell you what a phantom runner is, just in case you don't understand. You've given the money, but you're not going to run. You don't have to run if you don't want to, but if you want to support what's going on through the Christian Learning Center, we'd love for you to do that. So see them. They've got more information for you about that. But we're talking about possibly doing giving out water bottles or something like that that day, but we're also going to be a sponsor of that. That means that Pleasant Grove Baptist Church is going to be one of the names on the back of that T-shirt to say that we're a part of what's going on through the Christian Learning Center. So thank you for your faithfulness and giving that we're able to do that. Later that day at 12:45, some pet owners are going to be driving right up on our campus as the VCA Appalachian Animal Hospital is going to be doing a drive-through rabies clinic here. And we're just going to be out there to greet people and to maybe give them a bottle of water or something of that sort, just to share the love of Christ with those even as they're coming onto our campus. So pray about being a part of one or both of those things upcoming, but there'll be other things along the way. But we need to be involved in showing the love of Christ to those in our community. Paul reminds us in verse 6 that the goal that we should have as followers of Christ is to glorify God, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. When we work together in unity and show the love of God to the world around us, the Father is glorified. We must realize that we're not being obedient as followers of Christ if we aren't being a light. God didn't save us. God did not save us to sit in pews and listen to good music and a sermon to go home and to come back and do the same thing next week. God saved us so that we come and hear good music and worship God together and hear a sermon, and we're encouraged to go out and to share that love with those around us throughout the week. You know, I'd love to get to the place as a church where each Sunday we'd come back and we'd have to take 5 or 10 minutes just to give testimony about what God's been doing during the week. Wouldn't that be pretty awesome? Don't you think that'd be kind of exciting? You know, it might even push us staying in worship past an hour. I know that's sacrilegious now. I realize right over there in Third Hesitations, it says that worship is for 1 hour. Sorry. My sarcasm comes out every now and then. But we have a responsibility to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around us. The call to share our faith through loving others comes immediately when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. That's not a call reserved for a select few. That's for all of us. Now, yes, God does give some the spiritual gift of evangelism. But all of us have been impacted by Christ's love. And all of us need to share that love with those around us. We've made the idea of evangelism something that seems unattainable or incredibly intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. We certainly need folks capable and willing to use that gift of evangelism that God has given them to share that plan of salvation. But there's so many people in life around us that need to know that somebody loves them and cares. And sometimes the thing for us is just to pour a little bit more of God's love on them, and God's going to send somebody else along to share the faith. Now hear me, I'm not saying that is to excuse us from sharing our faith if God opens that door. But we never know where we are in that process in someone's life. And you and I need to look for opportunities to show that love of Christ to strangers, to do random acts of kindness to show them the love of Christ. Ask God to open your eyes that we can do that in unity as a body to love those in our community. Being someone who enjoys singing and loves music, I love good harmony. Now, if you're not musically inclined or musically informed, whenever somebody sings a solo, they're singing the melody. And even a choir can sing the melody, but typically when a choir sings, it's going to be four-part harmony. That means they're basically four notes stacked on top of one another that theoretically sound good together. And when there's good harmony, man, it's so neat. I'm going to share a little video with you. I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't like this, I'm going to pray for you. This is actually the Gaither Vocal Band singing the song, I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. Now, there's a couple of solos in here, and the soloists are great. Don't get me wrong. But listen to how warm and rich the sound gets when they sing together, the harmony that's created. Pay attention to the screens. Thank you. I believe if they keep working at it, they'll get good. Solos are nice, and solos can do some neat things. But when harmony happens, there's a richness and a power to that that a solo just can't match. You can do things on your own, and we should be doing things on our own in the body of Christ as individuals that God has placed us here to be. But when we come together in harmony, there is a richness and beauty to that that a solo will never match. Let's be the body of Christ that God has called us to be. Let's be a body that not only lives in harmony within the walls of the church, but works together in harmony outside of the church, so that the God who saved us will be glorified through what we do. What a privilege we have to be a part of impacting lives around us. Pray that God would transform our minds to think more like Him. God put our needs ahead of His own. He's called us to put the needs of others ahead of our own. Our example, Jesus put the needs of others first, the needs of us. The end result when we do that is that we'll work together in harmony to glorify God. When God is glorified, He draws men, women, boys, and girls to Himself. So let's be a church that glorifies God inside the walls and outside the walls in our community. If you realize today that you've never asked God's forgiveness, that you've never placed your faith in Him, I want to encourage you right now not to leave this place without trusting in Him. You see, the thing is, He loves you more than you'll ever know. And the Word of God tells us that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And you may be sitting there arguing with me saying, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. We know you're right. I don't know what you've done. But I know this, He does. And He already paid the price for it. If you'll ask His forgiveness. Just ask His forgiveness and place your trust in Him. Perhaps God's leading you to become a part of this body of believers, to serve Him through this church. Whatever God may be leading you to do during this invitation, be obedient to Him. And if He wants you to serve Him through this church, then come and share that with me today. But maybe you're here and you have some burden, something weighing you down, and something, honestly, you've been carrying. Janice and I were talking about this very thing this week. Sometimes we give things to God and we tie a little string to them and we keep pulling them back. We've got to let go. Maybe today you can come and kneel at this altar and let go. Say, God, I can't carry this and I'm not meant to. I trust it to You. But whatever you need to do business with God right now, let Him have His way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You that Your word is truth. And God, I thank You for what Paul teaches us about being concerned about others because that's Your heart. You put others first. I thank You for the example we have in Paul. I thank You for the example we have in Christ. God, help us to follow in Your steps, that we as a body of believers might indeed show harmony in this community, that You might be glorified. God, for anyone here that doesn't know You, I pray right now they'd ask Your forgiveness and trust in You. Each of us, Lord, no matter what burdens we may be carrying today, I pray we'd have the wisdom to turn those over to You today. God, have Your way in this place right now. Have Your way in our hearts. Be glorified in this invitation. It's in Your precious name we pray these things. Amen.